28, where we read some verses together. And we'll just look to the Lord again now, asking the Lord to prepare our hearts for the Word as we turn to it at this time. Father in heaven, we do thank Thee that many of us here can say with the hymn writer long ago that love lifted me. Thank Thee, Lord, that we can say when I was sinking deep in sin, love lifted me. Thank Thee, Lord, for ever setting Your love upon us. And Father, we ask now as we turn again to the Scriptures of truth that God Himself would come and minister to all of our hearts. We pray for that conscious presence of the Lord and for a sense that God the Holy Spirit is in our midst, speaking to our hearts and strengthening us and encouraging us, and if so needs be, challenging us through the Word at this time. So Lord, shut us in now with Thyself, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you folk here will be familiar with something of the life of Jacob. Now, Jacob was not always a very likable man. He was deceitful, and he was selfish, and he was widely known as a twister or supplanter, because that is what his name means, and it suited him well in the early part of his life. Due to his behaviour, and indeed that of his mother, and in a partly his father as well, he found himself in very adverse circumstances in his home. Sin had ruined the harmony of the family home. His brother was upon his heels, seeking to harm him. Jacob had done wrong. As I said, his mother had been wrong. And his father wasn't altogether innocent either. But whenever you think even of that, men and women, the sin that was there amongst the people I mentioned, and the sin that was there in Jacob himself, you have a very clear picture of mankind in general. Mankind in general as a sinner because of Adam's fall. Man is born a sinner. We are born part of his fallen race. But then there is actual transgression as well. And what a picture we have here of the sinner. Jacob here is leaving the family home, and the journey that he embarks upon is not only a perilous one, but it's a very long one. His destination is Syria and the home of his uncle Laban. Now, he would travel on his way to Laban's house along what was known as the trade route, a trade route that led north, and then he would turn east over the northern edge of the great desert and then head on towards Haran, where Laban was. Of course, he had to walk. He did not have the privilege of public transport or a car. He had to walk along. And you and I can picture this man, Jacob. He was a lonely man. Didn't seem to have a friend in the world at this time. He was obviously sad, as there would have been reflection there on how things could have been. He was an anxious man. He was a man who was downcast and filled with emotional pain. He was a bit like a fugitive or a criminal. And on that journey, on what was to be for him a night that he would never forget, at the end of a long and tiring day, Jacob lies down to sleep. Now, in eastern countries, through much of the year, there is no dusk. I've never been there, but I'm going by what other people say. There is no real dusk. Darkness descends very, very suddenly indeed. And Jacob at this time, we believe, was on the hills. We actually believe he was some 3,000 feet above sea level. And he lay down there and he slept. And as he slept, he dreamed. But brothers and sisters, this was no ordinary dream. You and I have had dreams, and when we wakened up, we're glad that it wasn't real. But this was actually a vision. Because this dream or vision, it left a mark upon Jacob's life that would be there for the rest of his life. You see, in those days, a vision was a means that God used to communicate truth to men and women and give direction and so on. The Bible wasn't written. Therefore, God's, what He had to say, His will, and so on, was communicated into the hearts and minds of men and women. And I would want you to know very clearly, there are no visions from the Lord now. Of course, sometimes there are people who mean well and they say, well, I had a vision. They may have an aspiration and they have a desire for something. They may put themselves into that position where they feel, well, here's how I would like it to be. I'm going to sit down and imagine what such and such a situation would be like. That's very, very different from the vision that God spoke through in Bible times. Now, there's much a difference of opinion here concerning Jacob's spiritual state before that night. Some people would debate and so on over his spiritual state. But suffice for you and I to know this, that from this night onwards, Jacob was never the same man. His communion with God is something that really stands out. And of course that communion comes through salvation, which is found in God alone. That night was a turning point in his life. And I would like you this morning to note the manner in which God spoke to Jacob. In the vision he gave him there, look what it says in verse 12. It says, behold the angels of the Lord, in verse 13. And behold the Lord stood above it. Verse 15. And behold, I am with thee. Thinking in particular of those words in verse 15. Behold, I am with thee. And if you can say that this morning as you sit in Ackley Free Presbyterian Church, then we rejoice with you in knowing that all is well with your soul, because only those who've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Saviour can truly read these words, behold, I am with you, and appropriate them to self and say, yes, I'm glad that the Lord's with me. Other people may have forsaken me, but the Lord is with me. And I want this morning for the remainder of this service to have a wee look together at this vision that Jacob had. And I trust if you're a Christian that you will be stirred. And if you're not saved, that today the Lord would take a real dealing with your heart and bring you to a knowledge of sins forgiven. I want you to notice first of all here concerning this vision of the ladder. Of course we know that. You've heard those stories from your youngest day, Jacob's ladder. We want you to notice first of all an explanation of the ladder. Now as we have the Bible before us today, we do not have to speculate or give a mere opinion or guess what the ladder is. Now the Bible deals and shows us much by way of symbol. And this ladder is a symbol. And when we look at something and say, well, here we have a symbol of Christ, we need to get it right and make sure it's a symbol of Christ. Well, when they come to this portion, the Spirit of God Himself is the interpreter of this vision in the New Testament. And how often it is that when you read the New Testament, it complements what we've read in the Old Testament. Over there in John's Gospel, chapter 1, this ties in perfectly with what we're reading here. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 51. The Lord here has been speaking to Nathanael, says, and he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now think about those words. You shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. These words come from Christ Himself. And when I come to read of this vision and to read of this ladder that God had in Jacob's vision, I believe I can say this morning with full authority of the Bible that the ladder spoken of in Genesis 28 is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the ladder in Jacob's vision. Christ is really the key to the Old Testament. When you read your Old Testament, please don't desert it and go to the New Testament. Look for Christ. Ask God to show you Christ in the Old Testament. It's full of types and symbols, and here is one of them. He, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the ladder. Of course, we can also say here that this vision is connected with the covenant that God gave to Abraham concerning the worldwide proclamation of the gospel. For it says there that the Lord stood on the top of it. Look what it says there in verse 14. and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You see, God speaks, but God speaks through Christ. Now, Christ is God. He is the Word of God incarnate, but God the Father speaks through Christ. I'm going to turn you just to one or two references. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says in verse 1, God at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That is just what we said. God did speak to the prophets by visions and so on, and they spoke to the people. But look what it says in verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And there's another reference over there. It's John's Gospel, chapter 17. John's Gospel 17 and the verse 26. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love whereby thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. These are words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I have declared unto them thy name. So get that, we need to have that clear in our mind, that God speaks through Christ. Now, he repeated basically the same message here that had come to Abraham, and that had come to Isaac, and that had now come to Jacob. And the fulfillment of that promise was Christ. It was Christ. The promise that we find here. You can read Galatians chapter 3 in your own time. Please do not... There's so much here that we hardly know what to put in and what to put out. But turn to Galatians 3 at home and read of the fulfillment of this promise. We can move on and talk about the angels. Did you ever study angels in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ? They announced his birth. They ministered to him at his temptation. They ministered to him in Gethsemane, time and time and time again. Through his life, the angels were there. And when the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nathanael that you would see the angels descending and ascending upon the Son of Man, that was a direct reference to what is taught in Genesis chapter 28. Jacob's ladder. The angels of God ascending and descending upon it. So the explanation of the ladder is very, very simple. The ladder in Jacob's dream was the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice not just the explanation of this ladder. And now we come really, I suppose, to the heart of what would be the thrust of our message. We have the reach of the ladder. If you look there again, please, at the passage we read, Genesis 28 and verse 12, it says, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven." This ladder stretched from heaven to earth. Here's a ladder, and the top of it reached right up to where God was. For it says here in the Word that God was at the top of it. So the meaning here when I speak of the fulfillment of the dream is this. Instead of saying, "Behold the ladder," when you and I read this portion in Genesis chapter 28, I think we can rightly say, "Behold the Christ. Behold the Savior who is the only mediator between God and man." He is man's only mediator. Now, I know men sometimes say they're mediators. People across the world have all kinds of warped beliefs, but the Bible teaches there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And when we consider this ladder, the Bible is teaching us here, not only is Christ the one who spans the gulf between sinful man and God. Now Jacob in his actions and in his attitude and his words was a picture of mankind at his best. There was shame in his life. Mankind, the sinner at his worst. There was shame in his life. There was guilt in his life. He was a man who was on the run. And dear friends, that is where the sinner is this morning. I've no doubt that when the unconverted person sits under the Word and listens to us preaching Christ, that they have in some degree or another a consciousness of the shamefulness of their sin. Because there's nothing
in sin to glory in. There was shame in his life. There was guilt in his life. And you do not need me this morning to emphasize to you what guilt can do to men and women. You also see here, as I mentioned, that Jacob is on the run. And if you're not converted, you're on the run from God. You're on the run from the Lord. And yet I said to you just a few moments ago, we were speaking here at the reach of this ladder. This ladder came right down to where Jacob was. Jacob was a needy man. There's no one that will deny that. And it came only not only right down to where he was, but it stretched right up to God. That the ladder, as it were, was set up on earth. And there is only one place where the ladder of salvation could be set up, and that is Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life a ransom for all those who would come to him. It was there on the cross. It was there that the gap between sinful man and a holy God was spanned. Now, over there in the book of Philippians, and it all ties in together, over there in Paul's epistle to the church at Philippi, is a very important part of the epistle. Philippians chapter 2 says in verse 6 concerning the Saviour. Now Christ is very God. Christ is God. It says there, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's plain enough. Equal in power and glory. But then you have in the next two verses what many refer to as the seven steps of Christ the ladder. You'll see there that if you look at, I'll read the verses, verse 7 it says, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And as we read on here, we see how he set up, as it were, this ladder, and there are literally seven steps on this ladder. Now, very interesting, the word that is translated ladder in Genesis 28, it is only translated that once in the Bible. And when you think of a ladder, you really think of rungs, but the thought behind the word is more a thought in the Hebrew, is more of a stairway, more steps than a ladder with rungs. So you can really say that the Lord Jesus Christ is the stairway to heaven. And I've mentioned to you the seven rungs of that tremendous ladder. You see there that he cast aside the outward manifestations of his glory. Now, he never ceased to be God, remember that. But it says there that in verse 7 that he made himself of no reputation. I'm just going to mention these. You notice also that he was the perfect servant. He took upon him the form of a servant, and we could go into the law this morning. No one could perfectly keep the law except Christ. He was the perfect servant. You will notice there also his likeness to man. For while I said he was very God, he was truly God, he was truly man. It says, he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Again, read the book of Galatians chapter 3, and you'll see that there, that when the time, fullness of time has come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Took upon Him true humanity. Verse 4, He humbled Himself. Sorry, verse 7, verse 8, He humbled Himself, being found in fashion of a man, He humbled Himself. And then became obedient to death. Whose obedience would ever match up to his obedience? Even the death of the cross. Now, we do not have time this morning to go into all of these things, but there you have the seven steps on that ladder. I mention them again. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. He was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And look what it says in verse 9. Wherefore, in other words, because of that, God also hath highly exalted him. I read a story one time about a king who was visiting a hospital where people were who had been injured in Flanders Field in the battle there. And he went to see a man, and it is said that when he looked upon that man in the hospital ward, the man, his face was practically gone, largely gone. Every limb was completely disfigured, and he was barely recognizable as a human being. And it is said that when the king looked upon that man, his appreciation for what these men did for the country reached a complete new level. And dear friend, when you think this morning of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you study nothing else that we've mentioned this morning, study these two verses in Philippians chapter 2, that is verses 7 and 8. Consider Christ the latter. Consider all that he did for undeserving, hell-deserving sinners such as you and I. And it would be my prayer that as you do that, that you will come to a new appreciation of all that he has done for those who will come to him. Of course, the ladder is set up that I'm speaking about is set up by the shedding of his blood and the sacrifice. 7 in the Bible is a number of perfection. It's a perfect ladder. Everything you look at this points to Christ and shows us his perfection. That is why it's said in verse 9 there, wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Why? Because his sacrifice was acceptable. His substitutionary work was acceptable. His bloodshedding was acceptable. And let me say to you this morning with all the emphasis that I can present to you, here is the Lord Jesus Christ the latter. And I wonder this morning as you consider that, maybe you've never thought of it before, would you not realize afresh the tremendous truth of John 14 where it says, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, but by the ladder. Now as I mentioned, Satan has forged many false ladders and he continues to do that. But these false ladders, they're all fakes. Robert Murray McShane was preaching one night. I think he was preaching on I Am the Door. And he, in his sermon, he expanded for quite a while on men and women seeking to climb to heaven some other way. And at the end of the meeting, there was a young man who was in great need, and he felt the shame of his sin and the guilt of his sin, and he felt that, as I mentioned earlier, that he was on the run from God. And he came up to Mr. McShane afterward and he said, Mr. McShane, I just want you to know that I got in tonight. And he went on to say to the preacher, he said, my problem has been all of these years I've been trying to get in the wrong way. I've been trying to get in the wrong way. You see, he was, as it were, illustrating the fact that all the rungs or steps on all other ladders, they will break. And there are so many people, even in this village, and we're very conscious of that as we approach a gospel mission, that they are depending upon other ladders. Other ladders that will give way and will give way to eternal damnation for those who are not in Christ. He is the only ladder to heaven. The hymn writer says, my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. There's no other ladder of escape. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is so different from all the religious leaders, we'll call them, of his day. They're buried in their graves or their tombs, but at this present moment in time, he's alive. And he's interceding for men and women. Just reading very recently that great verse over there in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. I'll read it to you. It says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And rest assured in this, dear brethren and sisters, this ladder would deliver you safely from any prospect of eternal damnation. Christ has an interest in you. The one who is the ladder, the one who offered the perfect once and for all sacrifice for sin, would deliver you this morning. I believe the title of the point was The Reach of the Ladder. The Lord Jesus Christ left heaven and came to earth to die for people like you and I. But I can also say this morning that Christ is in heaven interceding. But His presence is here in the person of the Holy Spirit. And if you have at this particular time some degree of an interest, personal interest in what we're saying, then thank God that He's speaking to your heart. Thank God that He's in heaven today and He's reached out right down to where you are. It is our prayer that during the mission, God would reach down into the mission and save many precious souls. You see, only the Lord Jesus could bridge the gulf between earth and heaven, between God and man. So we have the reach of the ladder. It reached from heaven to earth. Christ came down to die for sinful man. But one final thought here, and that is the location of the ladder. Now, of course, it's on the surface here, the ladder, it was, the bottom of it was on earth. But it stretched right down to where he was. Yes, he had been a blasphemer. He had been an outcast. He was a man that was friendless. But as he, in his vision, saw this ladder, it was offered to him. And I believe he took it. I believe he accepted the offer. He took the way of God. And Jacob was so overjoyed. And I don't know if you've noticed this before or not, they actually changed the name of the place. If you look there, please, in verse 19 of Genesis chapter 28, it says, "And he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first." What does Luz mean? Luz means separation. That's where he was, I believe. He was separated from God because of his sin. He's just like all unconverted people. Separated totally from God. That's what Luz means. But Bethel means house of God, the place where God is. And such was his joy in receiving this ladder and accepting this ladder that he changed the name of the place, not any longer separation, but a place where God was. You see, once sin had separated him from God, and that night through the ladder, I believe he met with God, and the place became a house of God to him. Look at verse 20. "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If," and the word "if" there literally means since God be with me, and will keep me this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto me." What a night it was for Jacob. What a night it was for him when he was dealt with in such a way that he would change the name of the place from Luz, place of separation, to Bethel, the house of God. You see, the location of the ladder came right down to where he was. And brethren and sisters, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did the night he saved me. He came to where I was in my sin. He came to where you were, Christian and unsaved. I emphasize the point again. He comes to where you are this morning. Over there in the book of Romans, there's a wee verse. Very important. Romans chapter 10. It says there in Romans chapter 10 and the verse 8. "But what saith it?" is the word. "The word is nigh thee," or near thee, "even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith, which we preach. And then it goes on to say, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Make no mistake about it, dear friend. The Lord is here this morning, and he's an interest in you. He's an interest in you. He comes alongside. And I would ask you this morning, first of all, to remember. Remember that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. You're either truly saved or absolutely and totally lost. But do not only remember, realize. Realize in your own heart your lostness. Your great need. Your greatest need. But I ask you also this morning, not only to remember and to realize, but repent this morning. Turn from all of your sin. Jacob had much to turn from. He's a hateful man. A very, very undesirable person. But the Lord made a great change in his life. And if you remember and realize and repent, then you can receive him. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Now, it's a very sobering thought this morning to think of this, that the ladder only stretches from earth to heaven in this life. This is your opportunity now. It's your opportunity today. I hope you have opportunities during the mission if you don't get saved today, but I can't guarantee you any of them. I wonder, would you not come to the ladder, the one who is the only mediator between God and men? Because I want to draw your attention for just a moment to what would have happened if Jacob had refused the ladder. If Jacob had had this vision and he had discarded as absolutely insignificant his vision, then his guilt would have remained. And so often men and women will come to meetings like this and they go out just as guilty as more guilty than they come in because they've rejected Christ again. His burden would have grown heavier. His emptiness and loneliness would have become more acute. And the blessing, all of the blessing that he was to enjoy, it would all have been missed if he'd refused the ladder. Dear friend, your guilt will remain, your burden will grow heavier, your loneliness will increase, and the blessing will be missed if you missed Christ the ladder. Don't miss him today, but call upon him while he's near. Embrace him as Saviour and Lord. Come to him now. Put your faith and trust in him. Trust the Lord will enable you to do that. And as you think, as you go home of the ladder, please remember that he is the only ladder. He is the only ladder between a fallen world and heaven, and is your only way to glory. May the Lord help you today to put your faith and trust in him.